From the News Talk STL studios in St. Louis, it's the Right Mind Show with Todd Showalter. On tonight's episode, former Rep. Brian Spencer speculates why so many Republicans are quitting Congress. And then solar eclipse tips with Will Snyder from the St. Louis Science Center and the Right Mind studio band Mitch Murphy and the Murphy Tones. Now, putting the fun in your dysfunctional world, here's your host, Todd Showalter.
Wow, Joey, it is just great to see you in the flesh again. I got to tell you, I almost put your picture on a milk carton. You'd been gone so long. I didn't know. Has Joey been missing? I'm looking at you now, and you've got that glow like I've just been on a cruise type of look. Tell us. I mean, was it everything that you'd hoped it be, or hoped it would be, or was it less?
It was just about the same. This is my fourth one. I guess I'm a cruiser. I don't know if you know this, but the thing that cruisers love the most is complaining about their cruise. Or complaining about the past cruise and comparing them. So all the time, you meet someone at breakfast, and they say, how's your cruise going? You're like, oh, it's good. But the last boat was way better.
Oh, I see.
Like, so why do you even do this?
Exactly. Now, was anything like really, did anything really fun happen? Like some people fall over and drown or anything like that? Because I'd always like kind of want some excitement. I could, you know, look back on years later and say, oh, yeah, remember that cruise where the whole family fell overboard and they never found them? Anything like that?
No, what happened was right when we got home, I was sent photos and video of another Carnival cruise line that we weren't on that was on fire. So I guess
I thought it was you.
No.
That
was like the Carnival Freedom out of Fort Lauderdale. I think a lightning bolt hits it because, I don't know, I guess God hates Carnival cruise.
I guess so.
Hit it right on the iconic tail that the cruise ship has, and it was just going around, leaving a little smoke trail.
Well, that is a great story,
but no,
not
well,
as good
perfect.
As you come in here. I mean, because how you know I am about awards and things like that. So, what did you do? You came walking in here with this glorious. I mean, it's spectacular. This trophy that you somehow were able to finagle, like on this cruise, and it's got a boat on it, and it says "Choose Fun" on this trophy. Now, do they have a trophy that says "Choose Misery"? I mean, because I think that you got the "Choose Fun" one, but how did you do this? I mean, because whenever I've gone on a cruise, which is never because I've never been on one, I've never come home with a trophy. Now, why? And again, you presented it to me as if at first I thought it was my gift, but no, you made it a point that you're keeping this. How did you get this trophy?
Now I feel guilty. You can keep that if you want.
I'm going to.
You know that trophy? I got two more at home because I am a two-time trivia champion from Carnival Cruise, and because I helped my girlfriend and we cheated off each other, she was a champion also.
So you cheated on your girlfriend on this cruise.
We cheated together.
Okay, and then while everybody else was enjoying the surf and the beach and everything out like that, you were staying indoors with a bunch of old people playing trivia. This is brilliant. Do tell.
Well, this is they call it a fun day at sea. That's when you're locked inside and you can't get out. So fun day at sea. They set up this a very smart trivia game that was done with our phones. The giant screen in the theater had the questions up there, and then it was synced up to your phone, and you had to hit the answers as quick as possible.
Oh, yes.
And when you're on a cruise, you're playing with a bunch of 80-year-old idiots.
Even better.
Luddites is the exact word. They can't work their phone, but they like to talk really loud.
Okay.
So if you have a trivia game going, they're going to yell out the answer and not be able to work your phone. I was able to work my phone, so I came in first in one game and second in another game.
Well,
look at the medal I brought back for you.
It is a beautiful trophy. And, you know, I mean, just the fact that you put in the effort and the hours, I mean, while everybody else was out surfing and visiting, like, the other ports and things like that, you were staying indoors, cheating on your girlfriend, and playing on your phone. And if I were going to spend thousands of dollars on a cruise, I think that's what I would not do. But, I mean, that's you. That's what makes you different, right?
I would say the biggest highlight was we went to the SeaWorld-type place.
Oh, yes.
Where we paid money to make out with animals.
Oh, that's wonderful. I think there's a lot. Law against that here in St. Louis is maybe not.
Maybe this is in Dominican Republic. That's where anything goes.
I did. That's right.
A famous musical about cruise ships. Anything goes. So we went and we paid to make out with a dolphin and a sea lion and a nurse shark. And what they do is they take photos of you, hundreds of photos, and they yell at you if you try to take one yourself.
Oh, yes.
And then they hassle you at the end saying, how much you want to pay for the photo? And then I say, no, I just want the memories. Like, no, you got to pay for the photo. And I was like,
so they're Italian.
Yeah.
They're Italian.
In the Dominican Republic.
I got you. Okay. So you're cheating on your girlfriend with animals. Okay. This story just gets better. And you're staying indoor playing on your phone so you could get a plastic trophy that's not mine because it's yours. Mm-hmm. And you have two more. So these trips highlights have been off the charts already. study. Now, did you take pictures that you can share with us to all of our listeners that can't see can actually pretend like they're actually looking at?
Yeah, and I've actually saved them just for the listeners because I have a strict rule when I'm on vacation is I don't post photos while I'm away from my house.
Right.
Because I don't want anyone to know that I'm not at my house.
I always wonder that. These people are idiots. I mean, I'm sorry. And if you're out there listening and you're one of these people, I just want to say I consider you an idiot because I have a lot of these friends that do that. You know, they'll say, this is, you know, I'm going to be gone for, this is week four of my 8-week trip. And, you know, here we are today looking at the biggest ball of twine. Meanwhile, there's like a burglar, you know, robbing their house because they know that they're not home.
Liking their posts on Instagram while they're picking out which TV they want to take home.
Exactly.
As long as you get the hearts, it was worth it.
Well, that is true. But you didn't do that because you were too busy on your phone playing trivia, cheating on your girlfriend, and making out with animals. Mm-hmm. I didn't know they did that on these kind of cruises. Now, tell us about the food, because I understand like the food is quite the spread. I mean, is it stuff that you can't get at home, or is it something that what was your favorite meal on this cruise?
Well, the main dining room at night is where we like to really dress up. I had a whole suitcase just full of cardigans and button-up shirts and ties because I wanted to look snazzy for my lady.
Right.
And then you can order as much as you want. So we had four appetizers every night, get the frog legs and the fried green tomatoes and the little snails, the escargots, as they call them.
Escargots, yes. Mm-hmm.
Oh, yeah. So this is stuff I would never eat at home, but on a cruise ship, I'll try anything.
Right. Well,
and we just made ourselves so fat, and then we'd go to the gym the next morning and work out, and so we could do it all again.
Okay, but you said now when you went to the gym that you went to the gym not to work out, but you went to the gym to see the famous people. Now, on the cruise boat, who were the famous people that you wanted to mingle with?
Well, when you're in real life out here
in
middle America, flyover country, you think of the famous people as, you know, the Hollywood types, the people that are in the movies and on your TV.
Okay.
But when you are stuck on a boat with no internet, because I don't pay for the internet
and
package.
And you're stuck on the boat.
The famous people are the ones that are your cruise director that's talking to you over the PA every day, tucking you in at night, helping you get off the boat. And the dancers, oh man, the dancers, they're so talented. They have the best bodies on the boat. And if you want to get a glimpse and meet them, just go to the gym. Just sit there in one of the recumbent bicycles. The most comfortable way to work out is laying down.
Oh, absolutely. Recumbent. Well, of course. Now, let me just jump in here. You're cheating on your girlfriend with animals. Did you cheat on her with any of these dancers?
I mean, I was wearing those spy glasses that have the mirrors on the side
so you can see
out the side.
I play poker with those. Larry Connors told me to do it, and he beats me every time. I can't wait to not go on a cruise now because you really made it convincing. I mean, so you basically stay indoors, you play on your phone, you make out with animals, and you stay in the gym, but you don't work out because you just look at the people that are famous on the boat just because they're on the boat. This sounds wonderful. I see. I thought maybe like you would visit ports and see. Well, you mentioned that they have Italians in the ports, even though you're in the Dominican Republic, which is all news to me. But I mean, I don't know. I think claustrophobia would still not. I couldn't do it. I don't think I would do it.
Claustrophobia helps you sleep real well too. If you pop a couple of I don't know, DMTs or whatever you're doing, and then you have
DMTs.
It's a drug that helps you trip out. I think Joe Rogan does it. Oh. But what happens is when you're on one of these interior cabins, it's completely dark, completely silent, you'll sleep for 10, 12, 14 hours.
Oh, wow.
And then the cruise is over before you know it. Best sleep you ever had for $2,000.
Oh, that's amazing. So let me just, and I don't want to be redundant here because I want this, you know, I don't want it to be a spoiler, but I'm just going to a mental checklist as I usually do or don't. So you basically, you don't go to port. You make out with animals. You play on your phone trivia game with senior old people, which is pretty much what they are. You go to the gym, but you don't work out because you look at the dancers. And then you sleep. You sleep for 10 or 12 hours, all for thousands of dollars. I think this is something you can do probably at the Red Roof Inn in, you know, Branson.
Yeah, but when you leave the boat into a port, you get to meet some of the nicest grifters you ever met.
Oh.
Like if you're walking in a country like, you know, Curacao is one place I went.
Curacao.
And they have these amazing salesmen that are trying to take your money, but they'll do it in a fun way by using their foreign language, I think Spanish or whatever. And they'll say, "We have frío coconut water. Frío coconut water."
Okay.
Do you know what frío means in Spanish?
I think that means $5.
No, it means cold.
Oh,
so
really?
All these idiot Americans, they're like, "Oh, frío. He must be speaking broken Spanish, so I understand. I'll take a big chug of this coconut water." And he's like, $5. Well, you said it was frio. It's like, no, madam, frio means cold.
And this is the Italian guy.
This is the Italian guy in Curacao speaking Spanish.
That's
yeah.
amazing. Wow, this sounds like a wonderful thing I never want to do. But I'm glad that you got this trophy, though, and it is quite spectacular. If everybody could just picture this in their head, it's like a giant trophy like the soccer players. Oh, sorry, you want to be a soccer player, Mr. Williams. Mm-hmm. Like I used to give away to the little kids. And but that's what you have. And it says, choose fun instead of misery. So I'm very proud of you. And I'm really happy that you're back here. And, you know, it's just good to see you in the flesh.
It's a political show sometimes. So let me talk about some of the politics that happened while I was
on the boat.
Well, in Miami, we flew out of Miami and we spent the day there on South Beach. You ever been to South Beach, Miami? Thongs, as far as the eye can see. Men, women, children, they're
thongs.
All just cheeking it.
Cheeking it.
Yeah. And it's crazy because Ron DeSantis, he threw the
thong.
Yeah, he was in a thong, and he brought the hammer down on these spring breakers. So all March long,
right?
He put up these rules saying, in South Beach, Miami, we're closing the beaches at 6. There's only 4 entryways to get onto the beach. Usually there's hundreds, but they gated them all off.
Right.
You can't bring any alcohol. You can't bring any tobacco. You can't have any tents. All the parking garages are closed, so you can't even park anywhere near the beach.
Yeah.
No one can rent a scooter. The liquor stores close at 6, and what happens is all the streets are lined with thousands of cops, and they're all gated off a certain way. So it's basically just one-way traffic, no cutting through alleyways.
And this is for the spring breakers.
This is for the spring breakers.
They want to go down there and do their beer bongs and all this stuff, and they can't do it.
Mm-hmm. You got to go with a camelback now, those little water bags. You know those water bags you put on your back for when hiking? You fill that with the crazy juice, the juicy punch.
Okay.
Spike it with the vodka. You got to walk around with that. You can't have any open containers anywhere.
So now what did you do when you saw these spring breakers that had gone down there to get away from mom and dad at school and do beer bongs and God knows what else and wear a thong, of course, and hang out with, you know, DeSantis, who apparently wears a thong also. Did you point out to them all the fun that they are missing? Because back in your day, you know, you used to do fun things like, mm-hmm. you know, play trivia with old people on your phone.
Now, I would just look at them. They looked so sad. They were just walking down the sidewalk with nowhere to go.
Right.
And they would
do that at the mall.
Yeah, they just had their butts out just trying to get attention.
I do that
but
at the mall.
Everyone's got their butts out. Yeah. And basically, all you could do was play volleyball in your underwear. They had that open all night, so you had to either work out or go home. They have these weight rooms out on the beach, so you can just pump iron.
Yeah.
Just pumping iron, and you can also play volleyball. That's the only two activities they allowed past 6 o'clock. So all the hefties had to go home. Nobody wanted them on the beach. No whales on the beach.
Well, that's
DeSantis's rule. I didn't say it.
DeSantis's rule. Mm-hmm. I got it. Okay. Hey, that bridge, I don't mean to move on to another subject because this is kind of what you're talking about here because it deals with transportation.
Mm-hmm.
And that bridge, unfortunately, in Baltimore, it fell down. You know that.
Yeah.
But did you hear, because you were talking about the boat, I mean, you didn't take any trains on your way down to on your cruise. I mean, you took an airplane, right?
Yeah, I sure did.
Well, Joe Biden, he said, you know, he was really upset about this bridge falling because he knew the bridge very well because apparently he used to always take the train across that bridge to get to wherever the heck in, you know, fantasy land he goes. But here's the thing, Joey. There are no train tracks on that bridge. I mean, there's not now at all because now, unfortunately, whatever happened to it, it collapsed. But Joe Biden said, did you hear about this? He said he used to take the train across the bridge, but it never had train tracks. Now, what is that all about?
He thought it was the London Bridge because you remember he said, God save the Queen, man.
Yeah.
He probably thought it was London Bridge is falling down.
Man.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Oh, wow. Yeah, I thought that was a little weird. But I mean, so Joe is like taking imaginary train trips across a bridge that fell into the water.
Mm-hmm. I don't know what you would have done if you were on that bridge. I mean, you see that thing coming at you 5 miles an hour and it's not stopping, and it's going to hit the pillar. Those crazy, the craziest thing you can imagine, those construction workers filling potholes at 1 a.m., then they just end up in the drink.
Well, that's why, you know, and the reason I bring that up is that's because I don't use bridges. I don't. That's why I've never been outside the St. Louis city limits because they have this dang river with floaters in the water.
Mm-hmm.
And if you want to go anywhere, you got to cross that bridge. And I'm not going to cross the bridge for that very reason, unless it has train tracks, even if they're imaginary.
Even with the riddles, you know, I usually could get them right with the riddles 3, but the trolls are so mean under these bridges.
What the trolls?
Well, don't you know the trolls?
I thought we had to. Now, I get confused. Now, you said trolls. I thought we couldn't say midget. Is it, do we cannot, can we, can, I'm flummoxed amongst it. Can we not say trolls, midgets, or dwarves? Which one can we not say?
I don't know if you're allowed to talk to any of them, actually, after what you did last time. They have a restraining order against you. You have to stay at least 6 feet away from them, which is standing.
Well,
standing distance.
I say if they were laid down, like, you know, three at a time, that might make 6 feet. So I don't think they even know what 6 feet is. But we can say trolls, though. Is that true?
You know, when we worked downtown at Union Station, they had the beautiful Eads Bridge going over to Illinois where they keep the casinos and the gambling and the sports book.
I never did.
I wanted to go, but there was all these homeless trolls that lived under the bridge, and I always heard they had riddles, and I just didn't want to bother them, so I never went across the bridge either. I'm like you.
Yeah, well, exactly. Trolls are like, are those like Oompa Loompas? You know, the Oompa Loompa is like, did you see that new Wonka movie? I got dragged to that
over the I texted you one time a question. You were like, I'm in a terrible movie. I can't talk. And I couldn't wait to hear what movie it was. And it was Wonka.
I am going to bring up on this one because she wanted to see that Wonka movie, okay? We're going to go see Wonka. And I thought, you know, Gene Wilder in the original, I mean, that was good.
Untouchable.
He's so good. Mess with that. I mean, there's certain things you just don't. And this thing was so dumb. I don't care. Anybody that wants to see the Wonka movie, I mean, just don't see it because it's a big letdown. And anyway, but they had Oompa Loompas in that. So Oompa Loompas, who I guess are trolls, dwarfs, midgets. I mean, what is an Oompa Loompa? They don't have those under the Eads Bridge, though, I take it.
You know, this is our Easter show. I don't know if you've thought about that.
Oh, it is the Easter
show.
So
us trashing chocolate is really going to get us banned by Hershey's or whoever.
That. Yeah.
We can't go to Pennsylvania now.
Tomorrow is Easter Sunday. Mm-hmm. Do you have any big plans?
I'm going to be in Indiana visiting old Grammy. Grammy and Bear. Bear is grandpa. Grammy is grandma.
I know
the nicknames we had talked about, what you were going to end up when you become a grandpa.
Chief, and my wife is going to be Squaw-ma.
Squaw-ma. I may try that on Graham to
it makes him
see
really
if she
happy.
Likes it.
As long as you can run fast.
She's got a spotted dementia, too, so I'm sure she'll love it.
I have a lot of relatives with dementia. They're trying to imitate Joe Biden.
What, man?
What, man? I'm on the train here across the bridge. There's no tracks. Yeah, I'm sorry. I mean, but just say hi to her, because Grandma listens to the show, doesn't she?
She thinks she does. So, yeah, she's about 4.5 hours away in Indiana.
Okay.
And I'm going there for a free meal. But I'm catching a ride with Dad, so I'm not spending any gas. So this time, I'm not going to end up upside down or whatever it is when you waste $300 or $3,000 to go eat turkey on Thanksgiving. I'm actually going to make money on this trip.
Oh, that'll be nice. That'll be really nice. Now, have you ever been in charge of an Easter egg hunt? Because
I have.
You have. So you're an expert also. I mean, so do you have the fun with the Easter egg hunt with the little kids like I do?
I have the best Easter egg hunt story you'll ever hear. Do you want to go first?
I know. I want you to tell yours first because I'm just so dang happy you're here again.
So what I did was we had about 40 eggs.
Yeah.
And we didn't want any of them stinking up the house or the yard. So I came up with this idea where I'd take a picture of every single egg in its location.
Yeah.
And then I threw that onto the TV as a slideshow with music. And then that was going on the TV the entire time. So when the kids came in, I was like, all right, look at the TV. If you can't find all 40. So they would go and they ran through the yard and they would count them up and see if, and they were still missing 10. They had to come and watch the slideshow to figure out where one was. So they'd gather up 4 or 5 of them and they'd say, oh, I know where that one is. And they'd run out the door and find it. And I felt like the smartest little tech genius ever for an Easter egg hunt. I don't know how smart you make your hunts.
Well, it was nothing like that. So you basically had like a PowerPoint presentation for your like Easter egg hunt.
And you know, when you say it like that, this wasn't the best story. I made a PowerPoint for 10-year-olds is what I did.
Oh, wow. Yeah, that's quite impressive. I didn't do anything like that. We just used to get those little plastic eggs, you know, that you can put, you know, candy and stuff.
They don't rot.
Yeah. I put cocktail olives in them.
Yeah.
Yeah, because, you know, I don't drink, but we have all these cocktail olives for people that want to come over and eat some olives. So I would put like cocktail olives. I would put maybe some peppercini peppers or, you know, just things, random things that were in the refrigerator, and packed those little eggs as tightly as I could and just like, you know, spread them all over the place. And the kids, boy, it just, you know, they say on Christmas, the joy on a child's face, which is just priceless. Well, the look on their faces when they open a little, you know, an Easter egg full of peppercini peppers and olives. Oh, that is a look you don't want to forget.
They beg you. They're like, can you at least put Rocky Marciano cherries in these things? Like, no, those will make
that.
You sick
no,
if you eat like 10 of them.
Plus, they cost too much. I don't do that. And these are just old things that I find. Some of the things I don't even have in my refrigerator, you know, I'll find them at random places. Like when the waitresses at Applebee's like turns their back, you know, I take them off the bar and, you know, then I save them for Easter.
Oh, a little kitty kibble could go in one for special ed. Special, I could get an egg too.
Yeah, we got a fun show coming up here today, I believe. At least I hope so. I'm always optimistic when we start, and then sometimes it just goes down the tank. But we do have Mitch in the background, along with my good friend Joey sitting across from me in the flesh. In the meantime, I'm Todd Showalter. You're listening to The Right Mind Show. We will be right back.
Coming up next on The Right Mind Show with Todd Showalter, Florida Teacher of the Year Brian Spencer talks about how breaking the rules led to his big award. Welcome back to The Right Mind Show with Todd Showalter on Newstalk STL. And now a man who tried to open up a hat store on a cruise ship, but got kicked off for saying the word capsize too many times, Todd Showalter.
And we're back. I'm Todd Showalter, along with my buddy Joey V here on The Right Mind Show. And on the line with me now is a man of many titles. It's Brian Spencer. He's a former state rep. He's a former Florida Teacher of the Year. He's a doctor. I think he does balloon animals or something, but he'll tell us about that. Brian, thanks for joining us again. We're going to do a little bit of speculating on today's show, aren't we?
That sounds great. Let's speculate away.
I think we should, because, you as a former state rep, you got the whole political background. As a lot of people know, there's something weird going on in the United States Congress. You got these Republicans, the reps that they're dropping out. We're about to lose the majority. Something doesn't smell right, does it to you?
Well, it really depends on what conspiracy you want to believe that's out there right now.
I think they're getting bought.
I think
they're getting bought.
I think this is a planned issue because right now, with the Republicans in control, it's very easy for the Democrats to blame the Republicans for everything. But if more rhinos, I was going to say, drop out, it allows the Democrats to take control of the House and Senate in a short period of time, which they can't pass the blame on to the Republicans when they're the ones in control.
Could any of these Republicans, and we're counting on them to stand up and hopefully do the right thing, to stand up to the Democrats that are, in my opinion, destroying the country, but do you think any of them are possibly stepping down because of Trump? I mean, could there be some backlash from the actual Republican Party because Trump is going to be the nominee?
There may be a little bit of that, but I don't think that's the common theme among some of them stepping down. Some of them, when you watch this show called The Greatest Show on Earth, you'll see that they label people as white hats and black hats. And the white hats are exposing the truth based on facts, and the black hats are making the truth based on blackmails and other type of corruption. And some of them may be getting out because they don't want the exposure of whatever they've done wrong come to light.
I want to switch to something else. So going back to, you were the Florida Teacher of the Year, which is quite impressive. What is the biggest, what is your thought when you see what's happening to our educational system from being the Florida Teacher of the Year, which, by the way, Florida is a great state. What does it, I mean, it's got to turn your stomach to see some of the things that are happening, doesn't it?
Well, the sad part is, well, like I said earlier, if you want to take over a country, you take over the youth, and how you do that through the educational system. When I taught in Missouri for 31 years, was inducted into the Hall of Fame with Francis Howell in Missouri, and then I just took a sabbatical to teach 1 year in Florida. And the Florida education, the kids are great, the colleagues are great, my administrators were great, but in order to get rid of the CRT, the Common Core, the critical race theory, all of that stuff, in order to get rid of it, the state has basically taken over education. Teachers are not teachers there. When I come to school in Florida, I would log in and I would download or print out my lesson plan for the day, and it tells me what to put on the board, what to say, what video to show, what assignment to give. So there is no real lesson planning as a teacher. You're not even a teacher in Florida. You're a facilitator. The people ask me, how did I win Florida's Teacher of the Year? Well, your teacher evaluation is based upon 1, 2, 3, and 4. And if you follow the script, you get a 3. And if you look on, and I'm not one of those rule followers. If you look at my evaluation, I have all of these 4s for not following the script and being innovative. 4s are innovative. three is effective. And then you get down in my evaluation later on, I have these one and twos, and these one and twos are not following the script. Even though my administrators loved what I was doing in the classroom, my kids were all engaged, but the way I won Florida Teacher of the Year in 1 year was doing everything that I wasn't supposed to do. And I was supposed to just follow the script, but instead I actually decided to be a teacher, not a facilitator.
Well, that's a great point. Do you think more teachers have to do that? I mean, do you think, on the good side, I mean, and again, before we even get to talk about that, I mean, do you honestly, because a lot of people that I speak with say, no, this is blown way out of proportion. It's not like, I mean, CRT, all that, all this DEI stuff. I mean, that's not happening. How would you set people straight on that? Is it really as big as we say it is?
It is actually happening. It is happening in Missouri. I understand why Florida went to the sterilization of education and they started skipping stones across the lake of education, and the kids really don't learn that much unless you're going to be on Jeopardy. But we're no longer teaching them how to think. We're not teaching them how to write. We're just teaching them enough to be a good worker. That's it.
Yeah. I mean, and it seems to be, I mean, whatever the country, I mean, we were built on innovation. We were built on, you know, we invented things, we created things. That just seems to be pushed aside now. I mean, it's almost becoming like a factory assembly line type of deal. And I mean, it seems that, you know, some of these DEI and, you know, all these other crazy things happening, that seems to be the agenda. I mean, do you think school boards, I mean, is that something that can put an end to that? I mean, again, I go back to the situation with our country. Is there still time to save our educational system?
Well, I know in the St. Charles area, and a few other areas around the state, parents are starting to push back against the agenda that's being shoved down our kids' throats. And so I think it can be turned around, but education as a whole needs to take a complete root canal. And DESE, as far as the state, needs to be taken back to its original purpose. Because right now, DESE will file for all these grants and federal monies. And, you know, the federal money, federal government doesn't give anything away without strings attached.
Mm-hmm.
And so they give this money to the state with strings attached. And once the money goes away, the strings are still there. And so, you know, it's the carrot and stick thing carrot that you're actually able to eat, but once you eat it, the string's still attached to you. And that's what education is going through now. And we need to go through a complete root canal and take DESE back to the original purpose and cut all these strings and basically tell the federal government that we can do this without your money,
mm-hmm.
because we don't need your strings.
Yeah. Well, again, it goes back to the deep state and education. It seems everything has dollar signs attached to it, which seems to be the root of the corruption right now. So,
but you can't just lump education. It's every state department
mm-hmm.
will take federal money that all have strings attached. And once the money's gone, the string's still there. I mean, I just used education as an example because that's what we were on.
Sure.
But that's every agency in the state of Missouri. We take the money from the federal government. It has a string attached. We spend the money, and the string's still there.
Yeah, and you're pretty much a puppet, it sounds like, at that point. Well, Brian, it's always a pleasure to have you on. Any last words or any words of advice you want to give the listeners out there before we say see you next time?
Well, my advice is keep your eyes open. Look at all sides, including the opposite side. Become active citizens. If you sit by the sidelines, you know, what's the old saying? You can't give Caesar your children and get upset when they come back Roman. Well, you have to get involved. You have to take an active role in our government because that's the only way we're going to save our government.
Yeah, I totally agree. And I've said it over and over again myself. I mean, people have got to get off the bench and get in the actual game. And as painful as that may be, you know, you're not going to lose your job. You're going to lose your country. And it's a much bigger situation than people realize. Well, Brian, thank you very much for joining me. I hope you'll join us again soon. Until next time, thanks.
All right. Talk to you soon.
All right. Bye-bye. Well, that is...
Bye-bye.
Ryan Spencer, he always has some good advice and some good things to talk about. I mean, this guy, I mean, he's a doctor, not like a doctor, like he's going to, you know, fix my arm, mm-hmm. but he's like, you know, like a PhD type doctor, but he's also a former state congressman or representative, I believe. I think it was a senator or representative. I'm not really sure which one he was, but we'll get to that at another time and place. But he's also, the Florida Teacher of the Year. He's got a lot of background. And, you know, like I said, we brought up on other shows. I mean, people don't think this is as big of a deal as it is, but it really is. I mean, this is really happening. And I think people got to wake up.
When I went to school here in St. Louis, I was in the Hazelwood School District, and I believe that the only place that DEI, diversity, equity, and inclusion should be allowed in school is in the lunchroom.
Yeah,
because we have pizza every day.
They
brought in escargot and frog legs and fried green tomatoes and even soul food, just switch it up. Today is Southern Day. I would love that.
Well, that would have been really nice. But did you drink the milk out of those little cartons that, you know, you were only supposed to open, like the one end, it said open here? Because I was always a rebel, okay? And I still am. But, I mean, I would open those milk cartons from the wrong side mm-hmm. just to be different, you know? And the thing is, the reason I did that was to be different. But they never really it would all fall apart, and I'd get milk all over my lap. Yeah, and to this day, I think that's the reason I wasn't the valedictorian.
Something I love to do with the milk carton is that when you finished it, you'd seal it back up and, you know, bend it down so it still had the air inside, but was kind of sealed, and you'd put it secretly under the table, and you'd stomp on it as hard as you could. Uh-huh. It wouldn't let out the loudest bang, like a gunshot had gone off in the school.
Oh, that's
popular. Everyone
now
would duck, and oh my God, they'd scream, and then you'd just keep your foot on it, because if you took it off, people would see the milk carton underneath. Sit there like,
well, that's how I met you in juvie, mm-hmm. wasn't it? Yeah, those were good times, too. Yeah, juvenile detention, good times.
And whatever the drinking age is, England, like whenever it's England Day, you know, everyone gets a pint, 15-year-olds and above.
Oh, so you want to be a soccer player and
drink
a pint.
That's the DEI that I find delicious.
Oh, yeah. Oh, DEI. I like that. There you are with those marketing tips again. But you're the slogan guy, aren't you? I think it's this trophy you have over here that looks like a boat. Either that or it looks like something that fell out of Joe's head. No, it's not.
Two-time trivia champ on the Carnival Horizon.
Choose fun, not misery. Mm-hmm. I like that. Should be our new slogan for the show. Well, hey, when we come back, we're going to learn about it getting dark outside because the sun's going away with the eclipse. When we talk with the St. Louis Science Center's Will Snyder, who's the planetarium manager. So it's going to be fun. When we come back, and I'm Todd Showalter. In the meantime, along with my buddy Joey B, this is The Right Mind Show. We'll see you in a bit.
Coming up next on The Right Mind Show with Todd Showalter, we ask Will Snyder of the St. Louis Science Center how many seconds we are legally allowed to look at the sun. Welcome back to The Right Mind Show with Todd Showalter on Newstalk STL. And now a man who doesn't trust the science, mostly because of how sneaky that little silent sea is being, Todd Showalter.
Hey, we're back. I'm Todd Showalter, along with my buddy Joey V. Mitch in the background doing his Mitch thing. And on the line with me now is Will Snyder. He's the planetarium manager at the St. Louis Science Center. I don't feel worthy, Will. This is a big deal for us. How are you?
I'm doing well, Todd. Thanks for having me on.
Well, thanks for being on. Now, as people may know or they may not know, very soon we have one of these rare occurrences called my buddy Joey V just got out his eclipse glasses. So I'm going to let the cat out of the bag here. But we have an eclipse coming up, don't we?
You're absolutely right. Getting real close now. Monday, April 8th. That's the big event.
Monday the 8th. Okay. Now, what can we expect here in St. Louis?
So that's a really good question, and when it comes to eclipses, it really is all about location. So if you're in the St. Louis metro, you're going to get a really good partial solar eclipse.
Okay.
Depending on where you are, it's going to be roughly 99% of the sun's light blocked out close to 2 p.m. locally.
Okay. Now, this is something that happens. I mean, it's not obviously it doesn't happen very often. Now, what was the last time we had something similar to this?
Sure. So when it comes to eclipses, they really aren't that rare. What makes them rare is how often you get to see it where you live. We're lucky that here in St. Louis, back in 2017, a total solar eclipse came over. And that was just 7 years ago now. But there are places that on average, you can go close to 400 years without getting to see an event like this.
Wow. And if we go further south, I was watching the news a couple of nights ago, and they were talking about these areas like down in the Boot Hill and stuff like that. I think it was like Poplar Bluff or some areas where they're going to really, it's almost going to be total darkness, from what I understand. But they have like hotel rooms that are selling out, and they're being sold for like a $1,200 a night and things like that. I mean, I didn't realize it was such a phenomena. Is it that big all over the place, or is this just such a big occurrence this time around that people want to take part in it?
Seeing totality of a solar eclipse is the sort of thing that people literally will travel all around the world for. They'll plan years in advance, and especially being close by here in St. Louis, it can be only a 30-minute drive to get down to that path of totality. It really is worth it for people. A partial eclipse is cool, but seeing totality is the sort of thing people remember for the rest of their lives.
Yeah, okay. Well, one of the things, I don't want to throw any cold water out, but what's going to happen? The weather has to be, it has to work with us, doesn't it? What happens if it's a cloudy day?
You're exactly right, because weather can be the enemy of astronomy and all cool things, including eclipses. So fingers crossed that we will have clear skies on the 8th. If it's cloudy in the local area, when you get close to maximum eclipse around 2 o'clock, there should be some amount of darkening. It's not going to be like nighttime or anything. If you're in the path of totality, it will get darker, but you're going to miss all the really cool things, like seeing the solar corona, seeing stars and planets come out. So we really do hope it will be clear, because there won't be another solar eclipse like this over a majority of the United States until 2045.
Oh,
so it's our last chance.
Okay. Yeah. Well, now, I was joking, because Joey here, he put on his glasses here. If people are going to take part in this and look at it, obviously I need to take precautions. Do you need these glasses, or can you just use sunglasses? What's the best way of actually viewing this?
Those are really important questions, because safety is big with eclipses. You know, we go our whole lives being told, don't look right at the sun, and here comes this eclipse, we're telling you to do it. So you do want to be safe. As you mentioned, eclipse glasses are one of the easiest ways. They are not sunglasses, but block out a lot of light so that we can safely look at the sun. If you're in St. Louis, anytime you want to watch the eclipse, you're going to use those. Even at maximum eclipse with just 1% of sunlight up there, it can cause eye damage. So you want to use glasses or other safe viewing methods. But if you're lucky enough to travel to totality, during the few minutes where the moon completely blocks the sun, you can take those glasses off. And that's when you get to directly and safely look at the sun in the sky and witness something amazing.
Oh, I didn't realize that. Okay, so you can actually take them off. Now, are you doing anything special at the Science Center during this? Is there any special events going on, celebrate it, so to speak?
Absolutely. You know, our big thing is preparation right now. So anybody that wants to get glasses, they are available for sale here. The weekend of the eclipse, we'll have on Saturday a free opportunity where while supplies last, you can come in and get glasses. So we definitely want people to come on by for those events. And if you're stuck in the local area on the day of, we will have eclipse glasses available here, as well as watching live streams of the event in the planetarium. But we do hope anyone that can will take that short drive south so that you can see totality.
Got it. Well, going back to the Science Center, I got to admit, the Science Center is probably my favorite attraction in St. Louis. What else is going on? Because you always have neat stuff happening there, whether it's special exhibits, shows, things like that. Anything else coming up here in the next few weeks that you'd like to tell us about?
Oh, definitely. So especially if you want to learn about the eclipse, coming into the planetarium, we have a show that's simply called Eclipse. It will teach you everything about the event, how to safely watch it. So that's good if you're eclipse focused. But if not, I'm also a space buff, so I love over in the OmniMax Theater right now. They have a film all about the James Webb Space Telescope called Deep Sky. So that's another great opportunity to learn about the wonders of the universe and things that go beyond just this one event coming up soon.
Yeah, there's always stuff going on. Now, I do have to bring up one thing that is probably a sore subject, but there is one problem I do have with the Science Center, and that is you have this one area there. I'm not really sure the exact it's almost like a corridor where you have it. They're called like antique space toys from the past, like toys that people used to play with that were like space related, but they were all toys that I actually played with. And they were like, and I thought, wait a minute, are they calling me an antique? Now, did you know what I'm talking about? Are you familiar with those toys that, they're really...
We've got a long history of some of those pop culture toys and different things at the Science Center. We have a small selection right now, but we also do have a lot of other artifacts, and especially with the space race, we've got our capsules for Mercury and Gemini that are really cool to look at.
Well, now that we're friends, can you just get rid of those toys that are associated with me that are antiques and just maybe put some like from the 1800s or something like that? Because
we'll see what we can do.
I appreciate that. I thought I'm an antique. My gosh, and my kids are like, you actually played with that? What, Dad? Did you know the dinosaurs? Like, let's keep going. So anyway, I appreciate it.
Exactly right.
Unbelievable. Well, hey, I appreciate you joining us here today. And again, it's going to be really quite spectacular. I have relatives that are coming in from the West Coast. My dad's a volunteer there, so he's probably told you about that, that are coming from the West Coast to actually to witness this. So it's a really, really big deal. And again, like you said, make sure if you do watch it, do it safely and take precautions if you need these glasses like my buddy Joey here has. And, you know, besides that, make sure you check out the Science Center even after the eclipse. Thanks for joining us, Will.
You're absolutely right.
Any last things you'd like to add or just we'll see at the eclipse?
No, I think you covered it all. We're looking forward to it here. And again, Monday, April 8th, we'll be here before you know it. So we're encouraging everybody to make those plans and hope they get to see the eclipse.
Okay. Well, thanks so much for joining us. And please, later today, get rid of those toys, will you please?
We'll work on that. Thanks,
I appreciate it. Will Snyder. Okay. Well, thanks for joining us. Will Snyder from the planetarium. He's the manager, Joey. I mean, that's quite impressive. And now, do you plan on looking at the eclipse with or without the glasses on? Because I tell you, I'm a rebel, and as you are too. That's how we met. You know, in juvie. No, we didn't. It was actually prison, wasn't it? No, I'm not supposed to bring that up. Anyway, am I talking too fast? I'm supposed to slow myself down again, but I'm not going to use any glasses to look at the eclipse.
If the president does it, then I'm going to do it too. I think Trump looked up and he seems fine. So yeah, why not?
Good point. That is a good point. No, what are you going to do? If it's cloudy though, I mean, what? And here's the thing. It's not as big of a deal to me because every night when I go to sleep, it's dark, you know, and it's kind of like this. And I often say that I'll be laying in bed and my wife will say, can't you sleep? And I go, no, I'm just pretending like there's an eclipse in our room. Mm-hmm. And so I kind of think it's like that.
I think that if you're going to spend a few thousand dollars on a hotel, you should really think about how much a plane trip may cost.
Yeah.
So you can be above the clouds for the same price, or at least depending on which side of the plane you're on.
You know, if people could see, I'm falling out of my chair. You mm-hmm. have these moments of brilliance. You could get on an airplane. You wouldn't have to even come here. You could just go up in the sky, and you're already up there, and you could look at it from an airplane window. You know, seriously, I told Will I didn't feel worthy having him on the phone. I don't feel worthy sitting with you here. I think you got smarter on this cruise. It must be all that trivia stuff you did.
Mm-hmm. I remember 2017, brilliant. I was out there. It was just in my backyard. It was perfect in St. Louis, wherever you
stood.
Was
it just your backyard?
Yeah, I was just standing in my backyard in 2017 for that eclipse, and you could see it just clear as day, and it was beautiful. As soon as it went completely dark, it was so scary. It went completely silent. Didn't know if the world was ending or not, and then... Oh. Popped right back up.
Well, you know, one time when I was riding the school bus, I mm-hmm. stuck my butt out the window and it was like the moon was out.
Mm-hmm. Got to be careful of the signs going down the highway. Could have ripped your butt right off.
Well, I only have one cheek. That's old. Yeah, but it's my good one. I'm so glad to have you back here. And it's really great that you shared all these wonderful things you did on your trip, you know, and you spent a lot of money to, you know, basically play trivia with old people and make out with the animals, which is, again, something I never want to do, but I'm glad you had a good time. Have you had a good time today as well, Joey?
Yeah. Yeah, sure it did. Is there any other cruise questions that are just burning? Because it sounds like you're never even going to go. So
yes, I'm never going to go because I told you I get claustrophobia and I don't get people. Like, oh, it's a big boat. Don't, it's not going to be fine. No, I bet you it isn't. Did you run, like bump into people? Like, did you just have so much space that you felt like you could just twirl around and do gymnastics without bumping into anyone?
What they do is they make it very tiny hallways everywhere you go. So you're forced to meet these people from other countries. I think it's a way of getting to know people that aren't from America sometimes, because everyone that works on the boat, you know, they're Filipino or, you know, Chinese or something. It's a big melting pot on the boat. It's actually, there's nothing to worry. There's no racism on the boat. That's what's so beautiful.
Well, there's no racism anywhere, is mm-hmm. there?
No, I don't think so.
What did the boat smell like? To me, see, that's the other thing. The claustrophobia is one thing, but I bet you this thing smells like some type of floating hotel.
Bleach mostly. They just hose that whole thing down and let God do the rest. Let a big wave come over the side, wash off the deck, and it's all good. You know, they got a lot of bars on these things. It's a casino and a bar first. So that's the most important thing you got to
work. A casino and a bar. So did you gamble?
I did mental roulette. That's where you stand in front of a roulette table with your girl, and you just guess which number is going to come up next. And if it's the right one, then you feel good, and you walk out.
Did you just say, I win, and you walk away?
That's exactly
it. Without any money?
We were actually standing next to two roulette tables, but we were only focusing on the one on the left. And I said, it's going to be black 12. And then I looked at the table and realized 12 is actually red, you idiot. So I said, oh, it'll be black. And then it came up and it was black. But the table next to it literally did come up red 12.
Oh, wow.
It blew my mind. I said, if I had bet money on that, which I never would have done, we'd be thousandaires. But I still had the joy of mentally winning mental roulette.
Well, see, I have the same situation with these damn darn Powerball things. Okay, mm-hmm. Because whenever like they read the numbers, I always say, those are the ones I was going to pick. Mm-hmm. Okay, and I inevitably, 9 out of 10 times when they read those numbers, I look over at my wife. I say, those were the numbers I was going to pick. She says, why don't you actually pick them then? And then I do, and that's the one time they aren't those numbers.
You know, speaking of science and the Science Center and the eclipse, I just love science so much. And on the boat, mm-hmm. they played this movie Oppenheimer, which I don't know if you've seen, but it's 3 hours long.
I did. I had to pee during it, and I thought I was going to die.
They started it at midnight on the boat, on the big open deck where anyone can watch it, because there's boobies in it.
Boobies?
And they didn't want the kids seeing the boobies, so they started it at midnight.
Right.
And what's cool about the boat is that the exhaust fumes from the engine actually kind of waft on you the whole time you're on the upper deck.
Oh,
so
nice.
You're breathing in the exhaust from the boat while you're watching Oppenheimer, which, you know, everyone got cancer from the radiation and stuff. So it was like a full circle,
of
life.
So you get to also inhale carcinogens mm-hmm. while on this boat, while you're making out with the animals, playing trivia with old people on their phones. This just, I mean, and it smells like bleach.
And what happens is you can never have a bowel movement off the boat
in
a third world country. You don't want to be in the Dominican Republic in one of those bathrooms because you drink the water. So what you do is you time your bowel movement before you get off the boat, and you bring your own jug of water with you. Because if you take a sip of the Mexican water or whatever it is, you're going to be on the toilet for that whole 5 hours that you're in port. They don't let you explore very long. Sometimes you're only in port for like 4 hours. You get off. Go to the crappy gift shop, and then you get right back on.
What if you say you're from San Francisco and you just poop in the street? Could you do that?
Probably, yeah.
Yeah, that's what I would do. I would just say Nancy Pelosi is like, you know, she's my babe, and like she says I can do this here. And the other thing, but probably along with all these little nuggets of wisdom you've shared from your cruise, your trip, again, I had no idea that in the Caribbean, the Dominican Republic, they all spoke Italian.
Mm-hmm.
And why is that? And they speak with Italian accents.
I don't know if you've ever been to another country, but the best part, especially if
I've been to Branson,
if you're going to take a bus to a beach, a special beach, along the way you can see what restaurants that they have there that you also have back in America.
Like what?
So the whole time when you're taking in the sights, you can say, oh, look, they have KFC here. They have Hooters.
They have Hooters, and they have a Hooters in the Dominican Republic.
Yeah.
Or is it a big of a letdown down there as it was here when we visited?
And then you say, there's the Olive Garden. That's how they got their Italian accents
Free breadsticks.
It's a breadstick country in Dominican Republic.
And that's how they talk. Unbelievable. I would have thought they talk like Dominican style.
I don't know Dominican.
Apparently it sounds like Italian.
Yes, it does. They twiddle their mustaches down there.
Are there any areas of the Dominican that are Scottish?
I don't know.
Welcome to the Dominican Republic. You're a soccer player, Mr.
Usually,
Williams.
If you squeeze your bagpipe in public, you get arrested down there.
That's exactly what happened. That's why. Well, I'm not going to go into that because this is your story about your trip. So now, here's what I wanted to get at the very end, because we're at the end of the show almost. Mm-hmm. Do you still is the girlfriend? Is she still the girlfriend, or are you just had enough of each other?
We had the best time.
You did.
The favorite thing to do is they set up little stations for you to take pictures, and they'll do backdrops that are very elaborate. Like there'll be a piece of a wooden dock and there'll be a beach in the background. They want you to stand in front of that, or they'll have a piano and you'll sit at the piano and take a picture. And it's just so fun to get all dressed up and then pose and make the photographer take stupid pictures of you. Can we do one where it's like a prom photo, but she's holding my butt and choking me? And he's like, yay, we'll take a picture. Yes.
And they're talking, he's Italian too. I do that also. You know what? My wife, she doesn't like to take part in it because I like to do those selfies at funeral homes. Like mm-hmm. I'll say, can I take a picture with the dead relative? And they'll say, get out of here. But I always snap it right before they push me out the door. But you want to see some of these? Look at this. This is one I took the other day. This is like some elderly woman who was probably on your boat. That was me. Like, see me smiling mm-hmm. right next to her? And that's it. Everybody says how natural she looks. I told everybody I thought she looked dead. And then I snapped the picture and ran away.
These photos also cost like $400 per wallet photo if you were to buy them. But they're just free on the app with a screenshot of it. And it's got a watermark that says Carnival Cruise Lines on it, which just helps me label the vacation photo even
easier.
That's
exactly right. You
wouldn't remember.
Screenshot's free. Yeah, it was like, hey, what was that? This wasn't on an airplane. This was on my Carnival cruise.
So these thousands of dollars worth of photos that I had make these foreigners take pictures of me, I just screenshot them, and now I own them.
That is amazing. That is amazing. Well, again, I really want to thank you. I mean, anything out of this whole experience of yours in the show today, I want to thank you from the bottom of my heart because you have convinced me that, no, I never do want to go on a cruise. So thank you. Thank you for that. Okay. In fact, the next time, if I ever win a cruise, I'm giving it to you.
Oh, thank you. And the best part of it also, free stand-up comedy.
Oh, yeah. Well, that is. Oh, you get that here sitting with me.
Oh, right, yeah. Never mind. I don't need to leave the country to laugh.
And I don't get to keep this trophy, do I?
You can keep it. We'll even make a little paperclip necklace so you can wear it like Flava Flav.
Yeah. I licked it, so I'm glad I can. Well, I've had a good time. I'm glad you have, too. Mm-hmm. Mitch has been incredibly quiet back there, but it looks like he's getting ready to do something with the xylophone, I believe. I'm not sure, but we'll find out. In the meantime, I've been Todd Showalter, along with my buddy here, Joey B. on The Right Mind Show. Thank you so much for joining us. And like I always say, if you don't have a right mind, you don't have a mind at all. Till next time, bye-bye.
Thanks for tuning in to The Right Mind Show with Todd Showalter. To find out about all things Todd, go to studiotodd.com. We will see you next Saturday night at 5 p.m. right here on 101.9/94.1 News Talk STL, and always streaming online at newstalkstl.com.